The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kuule Agbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this morning and every morning, of course. Hope you guys are having a great morning so far. A shout out to all of you who are driving around, getting ready to go out to Hawaii Prince Golf Course for the Naukoa Golf Tournament, which you will see me at later. I am not golfing today. No, because we have a broadcast later today. I got big girl things to do. I got other things to work. And because if you go to a golf tournament, it's... you ain't going to work later on. Let me just tell you that. So, because I have to man the controls later today, because we are going to bring you Oi Boys Volleyball between Roosevelt and Kalani with Paul Brecht dipping his toe into calling high school volleyball and Michael Lescaro. I'll be out there. Follow us on social media if you guys want like some photos and some behind the scenes stuff. You guys always know we like to post some stuff on our social and give you the behind the scenes. So follow us at HI Sports Radio and then tune in later tonight for OIA Boys Volleyball between Roosevelt and Kalani. And in the middle of the day, you got Seattle Mariners and the Toronto Blue Jays coming up as well. But a lot of basketball stuff to get into today. We'll have actually Paul give you a little bit of another update when it comes to the University of Hawaii men's basketball program and how the recruiting trail has been going as well. I know it's something a lot of people are curious about, being that there are so many players that were lost, and it's probably the biggest reset that we will have to endure for a while. Also going to give you some University of Hawaii football news, just some small news and a little tidbit that came down through yesterday. And then we will talk a little bit about the women's basketball issue with the unit payouts that we didn't get to yesterday because there was just a bunch of stuff. So a little bit of sports business, big news regarding big news regarding women's basketball, women's college basketball, with the ratings and viewership coming out yesterday. As to be expected, it did smash the viewership record. So we'll tell you about that coming up on the show. But first, I want to recap yesterday's men's basketball championship. As anticipated, UConn 75-60. Over Purdue, not much of a surprise. It did remain relatively close throughout, I want to say like 2.5 quarters or so of the game. But other than that, UConn, I mean, they were just so athletic. Like, just the way that they played, it was unbelievable. However, speaking of athleticism, Camden Heidi for Purdue, I mean, that dunk was insane. That rebound, like, he came out of nowhere. One hand, boom, slam a jam down. And I texted these guys. I was like, OMG, Heidi. And that was probably the last highlight that they had of the game.
Yep, pretty much. it made me yell. It made me get a look from my partner and be like, whoa, what the heck are you yelling at? What a play. I thought in that moment, if Purdue was going to go on a run, if Purdue was going to come back and perhaps take control of the game and push back, it would have been from that. But UConn just continues to be a buzzsaw for the second consecutive season, where they're unstoppable come March. Double digit wins all the way through, a 15-point win in the championship game, and it truly was incredible. They're the first program since the UCLA Bruins at the end of the 60s, from 67 to 69, I believe, to win back-to-back championships by 15 or more points. Just dominance. Dominance, dominance, dominance from UConn. And it just continues what has been this chapter of college basketball has been UConn's. 6 titles in 25 years, multiple head coaches. It just doesn't matter what goes on there in Connecticut. They just happen to be winning over and over and over again.
Well, and then it's just crazy because it has gone back and forth. And the women's program is set up to potentially at least make it to the championship and potentially win next year. So this is both sides of the program, but they are also the school that spends the most money by far on basketball versus football. Like a lot of these other schools, especially like if you look at Kansas, for example, Kansas has started to put a little bit more money into football, and you see their football team, you know, they've gotten competitive in recent years, where before it was like, yeah, Kansas was all about being a basketball school, men's basketball specifically. And now you've seen it spread out to football, but UConn, it just shows like you put the money towards it and your teams are going to win, because there was like a graph and everything where it's like that's where majority of their money goes to, is their basketball program. And their athletics budget for last year, $90.7 million. So, but among FBS public schools, it ranks 55th of 107 by comparison. Hawaii is a public school, so UConn is a public school. And to think that that's their athletic budget, a generated revenue of $55.1 million. Coaching staff compensation. Now, this is UConn as a whole, not just basketball. $22.1 million coaches compensation for a public school. Men's basketball expenses, $13.9 million. Women's basketball, $10.5 million.
If you build it, they will come. I mean, like, that's all I hear when I hear all of those numbers, is when you invest in something and you give it time to flourish and grow, it will. UConn women's basketball, another example over there, like you said, in just incredible, incredible in what they do. You're right, public school with that type of budget. You'd hope that they can find some success, but this is more than some success at this point. It's truly been... It's been the run of the Huskies, and also I'm going to be real, those coaching salaries for the two coaches that they have, it could be a lot worse. I'm going to be real, it could be a lot worse.
That's true.
Especially considering now that Kentucky job is open. I know Dan Hurley put that to bed last night after winning the championship, but that's the type of thing that comes along where there are schools who will spend exorbitant sums just on the head coach alone, and still have that money to push forward.
Yeah, the good thing is Dan Hurley is at a basketball school. So even if Kentucky could throw all the money that he could at him, if there's any school that's going to match whatever he's going to be given, it's going to be UConn, because they spend the most money on basketball. It's not a Shaka Smart VCU situation where there's no way VCU was ever going to match what Shaka was going to make. And then he goes to Texas and then Marquette. But then like with UConn, Dan Hurley, there's no way he's going to leave. And he said, you guys got to go ask my wife. And then he came out to say,
he joked,
you know,
that
like
come with a divorce.
Yeah, he's like, I can't afford a divorce right now.
So, and you know what? Real. I loved it.
I guess they're from Jersey, right? And so she wants to be as close to Jersey as possible. So that's why he's like, you know, we moved to Connecticut, which is that much closer. And so he said he can't move further away from Jersey, or that it's going to be a very expensive divorce. And, you know, I'm sure all jokes are half truth. And I'm sure she is probably a big reason why, like, we aren't going anywhere. We are going to stay at UConn unless there's somewhere that you can go to Jersey.
Well, I mean, how many times on this show have we said happy wife, happy life? And it's a simple truth of the matter. And not to mention, you're already at a blue blood in UConn. UConn officially at blue blood status. They were probably already there, but I'll give you your official stamp. You're a blue blood through and through. And there's no reason to leave if you are Dan Hurley. And he talked about it. He wants to build a modern day dynasty. He wants to go for three in a row. He wants to continue on. He's beloved by these UConn fans. His personality fits that East Coast, the Northeast especially. My Northeast Coast people, you know what I'm talking about. And he fits. He wouldn't make sense to leave. He's got a good thing going. And I'm glad last night especially that he just kind of came out and he put the kibosh on it. He's like, trust me, guys, I'm not going anywhere. And even if I had the choice to, I don't.
Yeah, it's either way. No choice. Also, the one thing that circulated yesterday, and I posted it in my Instagram story. You can follow me at Kuule Agbayani. It's a quote that Dan Hurley had back in 2020 saying, quote, people better get us now. That's all, because it's coming. And... two titles later, making it circulation. And again, guys, it's only 2020. Look at him go. I mean, that's why it's always a truth when we manifest things on this show, because that's power of manifestation. You believe in what you're building, and that's what we're going to do. So since 2020, Dan Hurley and UConn has gone 105-29, four NBA draft picks. His pay has doubled, a best point differential in tournament history. So not just like the last couple of years, and we mentioned they've been winning every tournament game in double digits since last year, but in tournament history, best point differential, back-to-back national championship. So it's insane what they've been able to build at UConn, and Dan Hurley, what he's done with that program. It was cool to see Bill Murray and Jim Calhoun kind of hanging out in their seats during the game as well. They show them on the screen a lot. But when you look at it by the numbers, going back to the game itself, I mentioned this yesterday that a lot of it would have came down to if the guards of Purdue could make the outside shots. And you know what? They did not. 1-for-7 from long distance to UConn 6-for-22. Again, it's not like UConn hit an absurd amount, but the fact that Purdue just could not hit anything from the outside, that's how you were going to stay in the game. That's how Alabama was able to keep themselves in the game, because Zach Edey, 37 points. You knew he was going to be consistent throughout the entire game. Like, that's just, Zach Edey is a phenomenal player. And I think people underestimate just how good his basketball skill is, because a lot of times we see these like really, really big men not exactly be great, fluid basketball players. Zach Edey is a different beast. Like, he is a true talented basketball player. Again, leading by far, leading all scoring with 37 points yesterday. It was going to come down to the guards and only one other player there, Braden Smith, in double digits for the Boilermakers. So you can't beat a UConn team if you can't make the outside shots. Alabama had the kind of the tools, and they showed to compete at least through three quarters, and that's all it could have taken. Now, easier said than done, obviously. It's difficult to make those threes, but I had a feeling that's what it would come down to. 1-for-7 from long distance was not ever going to have you beat UConn.
No, and you said it where, I mean, Zach Edey is a phenomenal player. He's the AP, back-to-back AP Player of the Year, you know, 2 years running. And I actually saw something where it was all the players from 7'3" to 7'5" in college basketball and men's college basketball this year. And it puts all the stats next to each other. And I think that I probably should go back and I should share it just so everybody can see it, where it was impressive where everybody else in Division I men's college basketball standing at 7'3" or above is averaging like 4 points or below, or like a couple of rebounds. And Zach Edey, I mean, if you look at his numbers, they do talking enough. And Dan Hurley said it in his postgame presser, where the game plan going in was, listen, Zach's going to get what Zach's going to get. Zach is going to get his 35 on, you know, 28 shots or whatever it may be. But we can't let the other guards combine to beat us. And that was exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. You saw exactly that go on. And with UConn, Koo, you've been saying it for a couple of weeks now, it was going to take a Cat 5 hurricane. It was going to take a perfect storm, a massive, massive effort, more than just Zach Edey alone, to take down UConn in this national championship game. And we saw it, exactly that come to fruition. You need everybody on their best games, and Purdue just didn't have that.
Yeah, and they were looking like the male version of that South Carolina team we saw on Sunday. Like, just everyone contributing, everything so fluid, well-oiled machine that Dan Hurley has built. But then you have, you know, they're big, not too shabby, and Donovan Klingon got the assignment on Zach Edey, doing what he needed to do both offensively and defensively, got close to fouling out. He had the 4 fouls, and then you could tell he was laying off a little bit on Zach Edey, which allowed him to score a few more points, but they took it out and not leave everything to cling in terms of offensively, because they know Zach Edey's still going to be a force down low in the paint. And I just chuckle, because if you guys watch that game, it was a masterclass. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was beautiful basketball to see.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, UConn in general, I gave some credit earlier in the tournament to some other teams for the sets that they run. obviously you should watch the national champions run their sets, run their offense, because there are so many different motions about 75% of the time where people are moving with purpose out there, and it's not a basic five out set where it's just kind of allowing guys to make basketball plays. It's still reading and reacting, but it has actual purpose behind movements and rhythm to their offense, and it runs so beautifully. If you get a chance, go back and watch the national championship game just for the offense alone, because it is impressive.
Yeah, and looking at one of my favorite stats to look at, only 8 turnovers for the Huskies. So that's kind of that's a good sweet spot that you want to be at for a game. Now, to Purdue's credit, only 9 turnovers on their own, and everything else is relatively even, coming down to that long distance shooting. But UConn, 48.4% from the field, 27% from 3, and my other favorite stat, over 80% from the free throw line. I mean, that's like almost like a perfect percentage of the final game stats that you want from a team. Like, it's incredible.
They are the national champions for a reason. They do everything well. We talk about the little things in basketball probably more than any other sport. And UConn, while they are phenomenal with their talent, they are also phenomenal with their preparation and attention to detail. A big reason why they make other great teams, and I'm going to say that again, great teams look not so great.
Oh, anywho, going to change the subject a little bit as we're way past the clock. When we come back, we will talk some University of Hawaii football with the news that came out yesterday, and then some basketball, get you your men's basketball recruiting update as much as we can next on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Walk this way, everybody. Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. All right, let's get you some University of Hawaii football update news just real quick. This came out via FBS schedules.com that Oregon Hawaii game that was supposed to be played here to open this season, and then it was subsequently canceled because, well, just to recap in case you guys missed it,
they scared.
Yeah, that's the real reason, but we'll give you the stated reason,
even the PR though we reason.
Yeah, even though we know they scared, that's
they're
really
scared. Clear as day.
What is that? College football playoff team. Psh, scared to play at Hawaii.
Dylan's terrified to come home. He definitely didn't want to play in front of his friends and family.
Yep. That's the real reason, you guys. That's secret information. That's the real reason. But the public reasoning, the official statement, wink, wink, is that it did get canceled because of the lack of ability to generate significant revenue for the University of Hawaii, being that the current stadium situation is not enough to make it worth it, because if you were to sell out in ticket sales, they would only have maybe about 10,000 tickets to sell, where they could wait for the new stadium to be built and all of that stuff. So that's why the game got canceled, and now we have the new schedule. But it came out that the Ducks Hawaii game in Hawaii will be rescheduled to Saturday, August 28th, 2032, according to a copy of the contract amendment obtained from the University of Hawaii via a state public records request. If the NCAA football calendar remains the same, the game will be contested during week 0. So I know it seems like a long time from now. Hopefully that means that the stadium better be done by 2032. Oh my goodness. Like,
if it's not, you're going to not see positive Paul anymore. That's going to be some real issues.
Oh my gosh. So I guess that's a good news that gives more than enough of a buffer from 2028, when it's supposed to be done, to 2032, where we will see the Ducks play, you know, when Hawaii is like the one competing in the college football playoff instead of Oregon. So
all the local boys home, when the local boys don't get, you know, the pretty colors of Oregon don't lure them away anymore, though they definitely lure me away. I mean, those colors, they have such cool uniforms, and oh my God, they're always good.
I'll ask my cousin to get my nephew to send us some stuff.
Shout out, nephew.
Because he gets free stuff like every single week. Actually, they have their, well, yeah, all the spring games are this Saturday, I think.
Not Hawaii's.
Oh, yeah. The Hawaii's one is long in the rear view mirror. Oh, but yeah, so all the spring games going on. So that's kind of like your little football update with the football scheduling. I know it seems a long time away, but hopefully that means not only the stadium is going to be done by then, but the full entertainment district that they're going to give.
I was
so
thinking.
That's kind of cool. That's the hope that we have by 2032, where they will have that. So it's the rescheduled contest of the 3-game series, where Hawaii played the first one at Autzen Stadium, where we lost 55-10, but we won't. It's going to be a reverse score when we host them in 2032.
Exactly.
And they are still scheduled to play the second game of the series, which second game was supposed to be here this season, but that one is in 2032. So the new second game of the series is in Eugene on September 13th, 2031, which was rescheduled from 2020 because there was kind of a situation going on in 2020. So that whole thing was going on. So
sorry, I was in college then. I just clearly just lost. Maybe I had too much of a weekend. I missed it.
Yeah, there's something going on back then.
No idea.
Yeah, so that's gonna be fun, and we look forward to football season starting. It's gonna be just around the corner. Hopefully, campus is gonna look actually quite different in the fall because this new soccer and track stadium should be completed by then, hopefully.
Knocking on wood. But that'd be real. It'd be fun. It would be really, really fun. A lot of upgrades coming to the University of Hawaii to their athletic programs. I'm excited to see, in general, not just for the football program, but as you mentioned, track and field, soccer, and many other programs.
I am a little bummed. I talked about this before that I recently, this past season, figured out why going to soccer games at Waipio Peninsula was so awesome. I'm kind of bummed that we figured it out the final game, and now it's moving on campus where the fun gets taken away.
Reason must get retired.
You're like, no. I can't believe it. Anywho, all right. Switching over to a little bit of University of Hawaii men's basketball. Paul, I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, Tanner Christensen and that being a good guy to get down low because with the departures of Bernardo da Silva and then, of course, Morsek, which, you guys, as much, I want to tread lightly with this because as much as I do appreciate and like Morsek as a person, you guys, their fans are acting like we lost Zach Edey. Like, it's insane how many people are, like, just throwing in the towel because we lost a player who is a very, very young in basketball, who is coming off an ACL injury and thinking that the walls are caving in the University of Hawaii men's basketball program, all because Morsek has transferred out. Newsflash, you guys. There are transfers out of top programs around the country, top men's and women's side. There's like a girl that like transferred out of UConn, one from UNC. Like, it's insane. That's just the world that we live in now. So you know what? If a big who, yes, maybe he doesn't fit into the system, fine. Like, there's multiple systems that are run across the country in Division I college basketball. So, but please, again, this isn't a knock on Morsek. I'm just trying to be as realistic as I can because the way that some of the comments and the blogs and whatever are talking about Morsek as if, again, we did not lose Zach Edey, not even close. So we need to tailor our expectations that, and we mentioned it yesterday on some of the places he's apparently heard from. Only Illinois is probably a potential
Illinois
huge step up from
step
Hawaii.
Up. But
that's
even there, they have the resources where they can bring him on, and it's still not, maybe not as tenable a situation as it sounds. There's a big step up in competition there, and it's not like they're going to stop recruiting at the big man position when they have a guy who potentially might miss an entire year redshirting. It was always going to be a risky move. We've seen that continue it's still going to probably produce a couple of nice landing spots for Moore, and I hope that it does for him. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to go up and play. That's something else as well, where you mention he's new in his basketball life. He hasn't been playing for decades on decades and still relatively green, and that can go one of two ways. And if it's not produced, then the move kind of goes for naught for him. For us here in Hawaii, I mean, for goodness sake, guys, there are so many good players in the nation. Koo, you bring it up how even the best teams will see some of their players move in and move out of the programs. It's just about fit. It's seeing how you can take players, guys who fit the program, both the personality of the program and actual talent. And newsflash, guys, there's a lot of really good basketball players here in America and outside of America.
I just saw, actually, the latest one, that's right, I saw this morning, is like the freshman guard out of Auburn, who was like a five-star recruit or something. He's transferring. Yep. So it's not something that only happens in Hawaii. And if it's going to be someone like Morsek, which is fine. Again, we wish him the best. Don't get it twisted. Like, don't take this as I'm hoping he ends up somewhere lesser than Hawaii. That's not the case. I'm just tailoring people's expectations that are just off the bonkers, like that one guy is transferring out and like he's not Zach Edey.
With respect,
he's not
Tanner Christensen,
Hunter Dickinson.
Tanner
type
Christensen
of talent.
Has had higher production every single year of his collegiate career, both offensively, on the glass, and blocking shots.
Yeah, I like the shot blocking.
So, like, here's the thing. You can complain about losing Moore. I understand that. I love Moore as a player. I think he's a lot of fun. You can't teach 7'1". Can't. Mm-hmm. Can't do it. But guess what? If you look at his stats, you look at his production, and you understand that he's also coming off a major lower leg injury, then guess what? You're losing your 7th guy, your 6th guy, your 8th guy. You always had to replace a lot of people as it was this offseason. And tell you what, from what I've heard, Koo, there are a lot of pieces that are in the works.
You know my favorite thing, though, is when you get you get the old heads talking about, like, well, back in my day.
Dog,
like,
I hate that. It's so annoying.
We won, and we, Hawaii should be able to compete, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, do people not realize that today is not what happened back then? Like, I hate to break it to everybody. Like, you got to get out of your senses that that coaching, recruiting in any sport, not just basketball, and at Hawaii, where the resources are extremely limited, where they don't even have the type of full-time coaching staff that other programs have, like, and assistants and all that stuff, that you can compare this level to what, how quote-unquote easy it was back then. Like, I hate to break it to you guys, it is not.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be, so I have no issue going at the old guard, just for the matter of, it is completely different. You saw Jim Boeheim quite literally retire from college basketball because Jay Wright doesn't want to deal with this stuff anymore. You see so many phenomenal coaches who have stepped away from the game because guess what? Recruiting has changed. Basketball is still the same. Basketball has been the same since it's started.
Yeah.
Obviously, the game has evolved in terms of adding a three-point line. You see far more three-point shots being taken now, yada, yada, yada. But guess what? Basketball is basketball is basketball, but the field is different when you don't have the resources. Because guess what? You become almost a minor league, a farm team to some of these power fives in the wild, wild west of the NIL, the transfer portal era, where people are being contacted without being in the portal all the time. So even so, it's tough to build good programs. And who are we comparing ourselves to? Are we comparing ourselves to another Big West school?
Yeah.
What other Big West school in the past decade has been so great that they've dominated in this conference? UC Irvine? They've won, what, once? Twice? Yeah.
So I'm glad you bring that up because 100% you are spot on where when I went back, and you guys can, it's right there, go to bigwest.org, and you can see who has won the championship, right? People out there are always like, oh, we're so mediocre, 20 wins means nothing, blah, 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 blah. You're entitled to feeling
absolutely
that way.
Absolutely have your own opinion.
But at the end of the day, right, we want to win championships. Any school is like, I got to look back. I mean, Caitlin Clark has people knocking on her because she didn't win a championship, which I disagree with, but still.
We have ring culture in college
exactly.
sports now, dude. It's crazy.
If you guys go back and look from the time when Aron's first year where he won, yes, I know it was with Gibbs illegally recruited players. Thanks for, you know, those scholarships lost, by the way. So anyways, even with the scholarship loss, EG was able to get those wins, go 500 or above in conference, and was able to pull off wins, compete in the tournament. If you go back to that time that he won, you guys, to now, there like only 5 different schools in the Big West have won the Big West men's basketball title. And Paul mentioned UC Irvine. UC Irvine has won once. I know it feels different because they're clearly dominating a lot during the season. They've only won once since Hawaii won that one. And there are only 2 schools, Fullerton and Santa Barbara, that have won 2. Other than that, you have a mix of only 5 schools, you guys, that have won since Hawaii won. Like, it's not, I don't know where people are thinking
year.
That, like, we're not, like, it's just, I, we have championship culture here, like Paul said, and everyone's bashing the fact that Hawaii, all right, we don't get to the championship game. I get it. I'm frustrated. I make the trip. I spend money to go watch this team compete in the Big West Conference Championship, and to not win a championship, it sucks. But we could easily be not in the mix. We could easily be Cal Poly, who has just have losing season after losing season and extreme losing. I mean, they didn't win a single game last year, you guys, like none. And CSUN, someone who feels like they're dominant, they don't do that great either. They did not win a championship. So I just want people to realize, like, we are not, it's like a relationship. When you think you're mad at your other half, you're like, the grass is not always greener.
Well, that's the
thing,
man. Like it's not always going to be greener. And it's hard to win at the college level, guys. It's hard to win anywhere, but it's hard to win at the college level. And the more steps you go up, it gets harder and harder and harder and harder. And sometimes I think people just kind of become accustomed to the 20 wins, become accustomed to just being able to compete day in, day out, year in, year out. Hawaii consistently one of the best defensive teams in the nation, one of the more efficient teams in the nation. And yeah, the offense, sometimes it leaves a little bit to be desired. But Aron Gnat's not the one out there shooting. They're getting good looks a lot of the time. Go back and look at the shot quality of what they get. Sometimes the shots just don't fall. That's on getting better talent. I get that. Part of that's recruiting. They got an opportunity to do that with a reshifting of the roster this offseason.
Yeah, which, sorry, I kind of rambled a little bit. We will get Paul to give you the men's basketball recruiting update when we come back. But I just wanted to, I'm so sick of seeing and reading all that things. And I get it. You guys are passionate. I understand. You know how you guys can help get better players? RainbowNIL.com. RainbowNIL.com. Put your money where your mouth is and contribute to trying to compete with these other programs out
there. Help us bring Bronny in.
Yeah. RainbowNIL.com. And like I said, put your money where your mouth is. You want to talk the talk and talk smack? Well, you can contribute.
Walk the walk, baby.
Don't be slamming everything if you guys aren't even contributing one bit, because now you got the opportunity. Again, RainbowNIL.com.
There you
guys
go.
Don't want to contribute? Then you shut your mouth when they're talking to me. Anyways, gonna step aside. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
You can't touch this.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
You can't touch this.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Bracktime, Kuule Ogbayani. actually got to play Dancing Queen. That was a Dancing Queen moment, you guys. I was like hopping up and down over here. We don't have the cameras going, but take our word for it as I'm a little bit out of breath.
We have plenty of proof online for people if they're not believing that we dance in here.
It was like a full dance session, though, where I got to catch my breath a little bit. Who doesn't dance, though, when they hear that song?
Right. Psychos, people who don't donate to Rainbow NIL.
People who blame the program for whatever and just throw out the fact that, you know, there's a lot of money in Rainbow Collective or for the men's basketball program. When, let's just say that if Iran was not the coach, good luck finding that NIL money. That's just going to leave that there.
Well, that's kind of the thing. And
people don't understand the back behind the scenes. And EG is a big reason why a lot of donors support the program, because how do you not support a guy that supports coaches versus cancer? Like, it's just...
Well, that's kind of where I was going to go, is the back channels are something that people think they know about but don't actually really know about. And the back channels are also something that, I mean, goodness gracious, think about how much people complain and, oh, we don't want to support people coming from the mainland. Like, we want local, local, local. This guy's been local for 10 years now. Like, he's been here for 10 years.
Before, because he was an assistant coach here beforehand, so.
But as the head coach, been local for 10 years now and whatever. You want to start over again? Because guess what? You know the opportunities of hiring a local guy for that job? Your best chance is grabbing Jesse Nakanishi from HPU. And who knows if he even wants to come over right now. Like, he's building a pretty great thing right there. And even so, if I was Coach Nock, I'm looking at the way these fans are. God, they're jumping down my throat. Yeah. So either way, Iran does a phenomenal job in terms of being a good human being that brings in money for the program, brings in money for bigger opportunities, and at the end of the day, helps bring in some NIL money for his program as well, which is going to be used going forward, and just like it has to be in today's day and age.
Yeah. So, by the way, let me just clarify. Iran's not facilitating NIL deals, because that's against rules. So
No.
I'm just meaning that there's people that want to help the program and help the university get players because he's the one in charge. Where you bring in someone, you bring Gibb back, where he wasn't exactly the best human being, people will not want to support him. And I know people will be like, oh, but we were winning. Again, he broke the rules. There's a reason why he is not the coach of the program anymore.
You can win all you'd like if you're cheating and then you get everything
Hello, Rick Pitino.
Taken away. I mean, well, think about it. People, oh my gosh, I don't want to get into it. Never mind.
Anyways, Paul, give us the good news. How's the recruiting going?
The recruiting trail, like I said, the NIL money is going to be put to use this year. Obviously, a loss of 6 seniors and more sec to the transfer portal gives you 7 places to fill. You have Aaron Hunk and Clater along with AJ Economo already in there. Tanner Christensen, the first one who made his commitment. Hawaii is in the mix for a bunch of different help on the wing type players. Leje Jones from Barton Community College, the number one team in JUCO Division I. He just was named actually this morning as a first team All-American in the Division I JUCO level. He's somebody that they are very actively involved with, I've heard, and that would be a really nice get for Hawaii. Stands at 6'7", has a couple of years of eligibility after this one. And on top of that, a lefty, which is a lot of fun, can shoot from downtown, right around 36%, I think, for a large portion of the year. Average double-digit points and consistently active on the glass. I like his passing as well. I think there's more as a creator that you'll see as he continues to develop as a player. Overall, talking to people who are familiar with him, his coaches, and people just around him, he's a guy who is more about the process, more about winning, not necessarily about money. And of course, everybody's going to want to earn their money, earn their, you know, keep and whatnot. But he's somebody who is here for the betterment of himself. And he's, what I've heard, is looking for the best place to help push him further. Hawaii firmly in the mix for him. They're also in the mix for another ACC wing transfer in John Camden from Virginia Tech. That's been reported out by his agency, actually, in Camden, that Hawaii has been in contact with him. Unsure at where the levels are with interest on both sides of that, but it is something that I think would be a pretty nice addition to Hawaii. We saw how it worked last year when we took a lesser-used forward from the ACC and brought him to the islands.
Pretty well.
A second team All Big West selection for Justin McCoy. And if the season had gone maybe three more weeks, probably a first team selection the way that his second half of the year went. And it, like to go back to the well there. And then Darius Robinson, a guard from Casper College, back in February, the end of February, actually talked about how Hawaii had shown a little bit of interest in him. And from what I'm told, that's continued on through. He was also named an All-American at the JUCO level this past today, actually, sorry. And he would be exciting as well. Averaged over 18 points per game this past year, the second leading scorer on a Casper team that won 24 games, only lost 9 games, and consistently took his game to another level against the top community colleges in the nation. He stands at 6'1", and he's from Chicago, Koo, so I know you love that as a Cubbies fan and all that.
That means he's tough, too, though.
Well, and that's
any baller
else.
From Chicago is just like...
Chicago is a hotbed for extremely hard-nosed, good players, and as much as I love Jalen Brunson, and Brunson in a lot of ways is going to be claimed by us in the Northeast, he did spend a lot of his time in Chicago growing up and was a recruit out of Chicago. And I'm not saying Darius Robinson would be Jalen Brunson, but what I am saying is Chicago has a long track record of producing good players, and good players from the guard spot as well. So some names for you beautiful people that, if you look deep enough, have already been out there, but also a little bit of background information, because Hawaii very interested in all three from what I've heard.
I just like the Darius Robinson name. Tell me,
he's
like
a hooper.
A better basketball name. That just screams baller. Like that's he's my favorite. So Darius, you know, you're because he's totally listening to this.
Yeah, 100%. He's one of the 1 million and 8.5.
We'll just claim him. So, but that's totally a basketball name. Anywho, thanks, Paul, for that update. So you guys, like, there are things being done. Like, just hang tight. It's a new reset.
Well, just
don't freak out until the season starts.
The
next
season
year.
Legitimately, like, just ended yesterday. Like, you'll see some more movement begin now that the off season has officially begun for every single team. You're gonna start to see some more movement. Plus, first official signing day, April 17th.
There you go. So just, you know, tell your friends who might be super negative, like, let's just wait, you know, like, let's just wait and
just
get
breathe.
Some of the new reset, younger players.
Husa.
As much as I loved Juan Munoz and his 8 years, it's kind of hard when you're 26 years old and trying to be coached. Like, you don't want to listen to a coach at that age.
At
like,
least
no
at
thanks.
A college level, not anymore.
No. Yeah, only at a pro level. So just hang tight, you guys. And, you know, you can always tune in here for the up-to-date information. And we'll get you an actual tracker on our website at HawaiiSportsRadio.com that we will, you know, refer you guys to really read about some of these players as it happens. So stay tuned. But we'll be right back to close it out on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kualei Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Let me tell you a little story of how our music came to be. It took 2 miles to ukuleles and a few good harmonies.
It's a nice feel-good song to bring back the woosa just a little bit. Woo, that was fun. It was a little fun venting session. All right. I want to go back over to the women's basketball side. As expected, the Iowa-South Carolina National Championship game smashed with 18.7 million viewers. That makes it the most watched basketball game, men's or women's, college or professional, in 5 years. And it was also 4 million more viewers than last year's men's National Championship game. And I can imagine this year's men's championship game won't even touch it either. So we'll probably get those numbers tomorrow. It should probably come out. But no surprise, women's game is growing. We talked a lot about Diana Taurasi yesterday. And hey, credit to the Mercury, which is the team that DT plays for. They are now marketing the game against who Caitlin Clark will likely get drafted number one overall by the Indiana Fever. So they're already marketing the Mercury Fever game as the, what is it, like the Rook versus the
Goat, the Goat the versus Rook.
The Rook. That's what it was. So they're doing this whole big thing. There's also like coming to more light that Caitlyn is not just someone that DT is just picking on just to pick on her. Like, that's what we spoke ad nauseum yesterday about it. But highlights of Diana Taurasi basically like bullying younger players slash rookies, including Kelsey Plum, are surfacing. And just to prove, you guys, like, she's always been kind of the menace. I love that she's getting the attention that what makes it fun. And I think it's going to attract a lot of fans seeing Diana Taurasi be the way that she is and just really be a bully. But that's her MO. Like, that's
how
she is.
She's just a real life hater. Like, and I respect the living daylights out
of it. Yeah, she goes by what she is. But no surprise, the numbers have smashed. So now that the ratings have been going up, there has been talk about the unit payouts for women's basketball. So just to kind of tell you guys about what a unit is, there are 132 units per tournament only for the men's side. However, every team gets one unit per game that they play before the championship. That does include the Final Four. The championship teams earn 5 units each, so awarded to the conferences and not the team. Obviously, there could be a trickle down from the conference. Units are paid out over 6 years and starts the year after the tournament. So this is only for the men's tournament. The men currently compete for a share of around $220 million, while the women compete for zero. But a lot of the men's side, to kind of explain for everyone, if it sounds like, oh my gosh, why is that the case? A lot of it is tied to the fact that the men's tournament has its own media, separate media rights deal with, as you guys see, TBS, CBS, all of those. That's why we see the games on like True TV. But, and that deal for the men's tournament only was recently renewed and goes through 2032. That 8-year deal is worth $8.8 billion. So the units for the men's side will continue to get paid out. Back in January, the NCAA announced a new 8-year, $920 million media rights deal with ESPN that begins this year in September and runs through the same year in 2032. But that is more of a collective deal. Women's basketball is included in that deal. So the tournament is part of, there's other big NCAA tournaments that's included in that, like the softball, baseball, college world series. That's very, very popular. Women's volleyball now is going up there. But for the most part, I mean, if we're talking about ratings, like, women's basketball, unfortunately, should have had its own separate media rights deal as well. And now it has to wait till 2032. So it keeps 40 championships bundled, and like I said, the women's tournament is in that bundle. When everything came out a while ago about the gender equity, you know, situation with Sedona Prince and the video, there was like an independent law firm that looked into NCAA and gender equity and came out with, there is some dispute to this number, but came out with the women's tournament broadcast rights in 2021 now to be worth between $81 and $112 million on its own. NCAA president Charlie Baker values it around $65 million, which still $65 million on its own, but now it has to share in a $920 million deal with the rest of the sport. So
yeah,
that's part of the reason why the units are not paid to the women's side. But it's just unfortunate because it should be. And the good thing is, though, is that both media rights are up the same year. So we can imagine they're either going to be bundled together, men's and women's basketball tournaments, like kind of the LPGA and PGA, or just shop around at your own. By then, it's going to be huge.
Yeah. You want to talk about Wild Wild West. By the time we get to there, I mean, it's only going to continue growing. We have stars on stars on the women's side continuing. The men's side, I know we've joked about how boring it's been all year, but they've got stars coming too, so it's not like they're going to go away anytime soon. Very interested to see what it does, because the WNBA is also talking a little bit about their next media rights deal with stars coming to their league. So it's a lot of business, a lot of sports business for all you beautiful people. I know people like Koo are going to really love these negotiations.
100%. So we'll see what happens, but that's a big reason why the units aren't paid. There is talk that they could potentially start the unit payout even with this media rights deal next season. So we'll see, because give the ladies what they deserve. I guess it goes to the conferences. Anyways, gotta go. Hope you guys have a great day. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.